Okay, then Joey gets the clam.
Oh, no. I always get.
Well, the visuals of that video.
I always get emotional when I hear that song. GlossaCast 258. It's the last podcast of 2017. We are joined by Ian Vincent. You can say hi.
Hey. Joey.
Nicole Schraff.
Hi.
Kim is with us again.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Look what you did to me, Joey.
Oh God! I get that for, there's reasons beyond that. There's a lot of reasons that make me emotional when I hear the song. But anyway, hold on a second. Oh, I want to thank Earl Foote and Arch. They're the ones who produced that song, and they allow us to use it as our lead-in.
I know, that's great.
For the podcast every week.
So can people buy that like on iTunes? Or?
God, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that and see if it can get the link. Mike Lindberg, one of our second contributor on the blog,
he created
that awesome video, which is in the show notes of this podcast in the show notes. I want to shout out to Cape Ann Community Cinema. Anybody that shares, the first person that shares the video on Facebook gets two free tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. And there's a link to go directly to the website and to check out their awesome programming. So, big week. Big week. Probably the biggest week of my life. Kate and I got engaged. Oh wow! I didn't even think about this connection. It's kind of so now the connection, right? The Bobby Shepherd, you know, the Shepherd thing, and we got engaged at the Crow's Nest.
At the Crow's Nest.
I never made that connection.
Yeah.
So it's funny because like.
Okay, so how did that all come down? Like, what made you think of doing it at the Crow's Nest?
Well, here's okay. I'll tell you quickly. The reason it went down at the Crow's Nest because it was going to literally might have been the only element of surprise that I could have employed because there's no way anyone thinks that their man is going to propose to them at the Crow's Nest, right? But there is a backstory, and I'll tell you the backstory. So I had the ring for for about 3 weeks or so, and we used to do this Christmas Eve morning at the wharf. We used to do our holiday. We used to pass out a bag of shrimp or a hood, you know, something nice for each one of our fishermen to celebrate the year on Christmas Eve morning. And we'd have beer and booze and, you know, spiked eggnog. And it was a great time.
Nice thing to do.
You know, when we were younger, it was a little more wild and it was off site. But we won't talk about those times when we were young and single. But then we got married, and it obviously became a lot more tame. And then we did away with. So then 4 years ago, we stopped having this Christmas party. But there's a couple of the guys I'm, you know, pretty close with, and I said, why don't we go out? They go to the Crow's Nest. I'm like, why don't we go to the Crow's Nest for just to have a drink or two, just to have a toast? So we've been doing this for about 4 years, and. Kate said, you know, I met Kate, and Kate's up for kind of anything. You think, you know, you look at Kate, and she looks like this refined, you know, like, you know, kind of Kate Spade, kind of J. Crew, whatever.
She has a very elegant look.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And but she's like all in, right? She's like, let's go to the cruise. So Kate's been going for 4 years. Her father has been going for 2 years with us. Bippy. I call him Bippy.
Also
known as Buzzer Foley.
What? The awesome Bill Foley.
The awesome Bill Foley. You have stories about Bill Foley. So I had been kind of alluding to the fact that I really wanted to do someplace special, and I only wanted to do it like on an exotic vacation. Like I wanted to go to Greece, or I wanted to go to Italy and do it someplace really exotic, which was honestly the truth. But the way my vacation schedule, I didn't have more than 6 days that I could so Europe really didn't make any sense. But so we booked Mexico this year, and she thought I was going to do it in Mexico.
She did.
She had it in her head that I was going to do it in Mexico. So there was going to be zero element of a surprise at all.
Right.
So no one knew about this, except for Mark Ring, one of my lodgemen, had been holding the ring for the last week.
No pressure there.
No pressure. He had it for a week. He did, and I told him, please don't tell Kara, his wife.
Right.
Don't tell anyone.
Anybody.
Because I don't want, you know, this is a big thing.
Right.
And you want the element of surprise. You put a lot of thought into like the element of surprise, and all it takes is like some people think that they can be cute, and kind of drop hints, and then their antenna goes up, and it really blows the element of surprise.
Right.
So I didn't tell.
And people could just slip. Accidentally.
They could slip, but I didn't tell anyone. I didn't even tell her dad. I asked her father for his permission. On the ride there, she drove in a different car than us. So I asked Buzz, my word was, it's about to go down. And he kind of, so he was pulling out onto High Popple's Road, and this guy cut him off and he started swearing at the guy. I'm like, oh, boy, pull it together, Buzz, pull it together. I'm like, oh my God! Like, I had my hands on my head, I'm rubbing my forehead, and so he pulls out, and he's just he said something like, I won't repeat. And then I go, Buzz, I'm gonna propose to Kate in less than 20 minutes.
T minus 20.
I'm like, I hope that's all right with you. And he started laughing, and he gave me a pat on the back, and he was just like shaking his head. He goes. And he couldn't believe it. And so going to the crow's nest. Aww. So that morning, I Facebook messaged all the guys from the Homie Cast. All my, you know, like Eric and Craig and James and Barry, my brother-in-law Barry. And I said, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but please come to the crow's nest at 10:15. And I says, and do not respond to this message. Do not respond to this message. Like, I said it three times in this text message.
Right.
Like, I'm going to delete this and don't respond to this.
It,
I didn't want her antenna going up, right? I texted her sister, and I says, come on, you should come down to the crow's nest. It's going to be fun.
Right.
Again,
right.
I didn't want to have the the element of her being cute, like, what are you doing today? Like, out of the ordinary, you know?
It's going to be a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I know. So I had pre-done this with Mark, and I told her father, I says, you got, because her father, Foley, they're obviously very Irish, right? And I said, and Mark Ring, all about being Irish, I said, I go, we're going to do Irish toasts when we get there, so you guys got to think of good Irish toasts. So this is how I was going to do it. So there was originally going to be four guys do toasts, but I lined up the bar. I bought 15 shots for the first toast. Mark did the first toast. And so I'm like, I can't fucking buy
15 shots. For
60. I can't buy 60 shots by the time it gets to my turn.
Right,
I'm going to be cooked by this, two, right? So I went next. So Mark does his Irish toast, and everybody raises their glass, and then I go. I lift up my glass and I say, I've been working on this for a week. I go, you got to listen, this is going to be a really good one. I got an Irish toast, you guys are going to love it. So I passed out the shots again, and I go, everybody raise up the glass. And she's like, Kate, which is awesome, she's like chastising people across the bar that hadn't raised their glass yet. Right? So everybody's got their glass. I go, here it goes. Kate, will you marry me? And James was videotaped. I told James, videotape this. This is going to be good. And her immediate reaction is, shut the fuck up. Which was just, she like could not believe. And she was so happy. Like, I look at the pictures, and she's played that video at least 200 times.
That's awesome.
Like, I come home, awesome. And I hear, I listen to it. It's in the other room. She's listening to the video.
That's really great.
And the look of joy on her face just totally got her.
Her face looks so
She's been, we've both been on cloud nine. Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been incredible. So that's how it all went down, and I couldn't have been happier.
So. I had seen her post in the morning saying 4 years in a row, you know, Christmas Eve, or was it Christmas Day? It was Christmas Eve, right? At the Crow's Nest, and then like I don't know, an hour later, she texted me a picture of, you know, of the ring and said we got engaged. I'm like, wait, weren't you just at the Crow's Nest? You're like, she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, it happened at the Crow's Nest. Of course it did.
Because why wouldn't it? Yeah, so yeah, like, yeah, that normally wouldn't be my MO, but like, so there was
a reason behind it.
You know, it's like, I'm not generally hanging out at the.
Why it makes it really cool, though. The Crow's Nest is awesome.
It is, but yeah. I'm going to say this on behalf of the Crow's Nest, her father loves it there.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, every time I have gone, I don't go in there often, but I might go there twice a year.
Yeah.
When I go in there, the guys that are there are salt of the earth guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just genuine, and the bartenders are fantastic. They make great drinks. No one should be afraid to go into the Crow's Nest.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, people might characterize it as a bucket of blood. It's not. It's actually a worthwhile visit.
Yeah. Yep. Whenever my sister-in-law and her husband come from Ohio, they always wanted to go there. We started going there just to get them like hats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they love it there.
Yeah, they got the merch. They got the merch. So there's that. The next order of business is the Rocky Neck Polar Plunge is on. Now hold on. Don't start giving your opinions. You just saw what I just did, right? You guys got here, we had a boat to come in to offload some herring,
right?
And
it was miserable.
It was brutal. I can't feel my thumbs. I was out there for half an hour. I can't.
Is you still?
My,
you still?
No, I'm fine now. But
yeah.
So Kate had all week long has been telling me, I'm not letting you do it. I'm not letting you do it. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm like, I committed to doing it. I gotta do it. And yesterday, there are rabble rousers. I'm gonna say rabble rousers that have, you know, that there was some misinformation that got out there that said that they had canceled it. I want to make sure everyone knows it is not canceled.
Okay.
Like whether you think that they should have it or not,
right.
That's
it's
not for me to say. And
it
is for the Open Door. They get raised money and take in stuff to support the Open Door. I do not want Good Morning to Gloucester to be the one that puts a damper on the Rocky Neck Polar Plunge. So yesterday, it was everything controversial has to run through Facebook, apparently.
And, in Gloucester, for sure.
So people, you know, the rumor was starting to thin air, and I didn't take it, because I've had it sticky to the top of the blog for the last week, you know, the time and the date.
Right.
I was shaming Chris DeWolf yesterday
I saw the video
because his son Tyler said he said he would do it if
Tyler
would do it,
and Tyler said
and Tyler's like, yeah, I'm in. And then Chris is like, oh fuck, what did I get myself into?
Because, you know, he's a teenage kid and he doesn't care, right? What was Chris thinking that Tyler wouldn't say yes?
I loved Tyler for that. Yeah. I loved it. It gave me fodder all day long. Yesterday I was busting Chris's balls, which is one of my favorite things to do. But I'll tell you, I was out there just now unloading that boat, and it's supposed to be similar conditions tomorrow. I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna say anyone can criticize me.
No, it's
just
not,
unloading that boat right now. I'm out.
Well, you're also, you know, you have some time off, which never happens for you. So to start the week like that, I mean,
it would suck to be. It would really suck to be sick for Kate when we have all this stuff.
Or to have frost, because you can seriously get frostbite and all kinds of things.
You know, I think if you plan properly, this is totally doable. And let me explain why. Because if you don't prepare properly and you go down there in shorts.
Right.
It's very dangerous.
Absolutely.
But the way I do it every year,
we talk
about this every year just before the thing. The move is to wear sweatpants, thick sweatpants, like even layers of sweatpants with your swim trunks underneath them, to wear heavy boots and to have at least two towels and a heavy duty bathrobe. And when George Sibley does the poem, he reads a poem and then he says go in, you don't get bonus points for sitting
for
there
the
half naked on the beach,
right.
Like waiting for this for them to actually say go in the water. You don't get any bonus points. So wait for them to say go in and then just rip everything off. It's literally 90 seconds.
Right.
You run in, you dunk, you run out, you dry off, you run to the heated car. I don't want to say that if someone has a heart condition, they probably shouldn't do it.
Right.
But I think a healthy young adult should be able to still handle it.
Well, also while we're talking, I'm just thinking like all along the water's edge, there's like going out 3 or 4 feet is
ice. Oh, is there ice right now?
There's ice everywhere.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Like little, you know what I mean? Like how could some?
I see they put a disclaimer. I see they put a put a disclaimer on the Facebook event page, like this, use your own discretion.
Dude, it's too bad.
Because a lot of people are like putting it on them. Like, you know, there's some people, there's some rabble rousers in quotation marks that are like really saying like the organizer, like putting it on the organizer.
No one's making you do
people
it.
Have to
it's
take
right.
If I did it, right, and I got and something happened to me, I would not hold the organizers responsible.
Right.
And anybody that does is a fucking jerk. You have to take personal responsibility for your actions. Like, I'm choosing not to do it. But if I did, and something happened to me, like I got hypothermia, I would not put it on the organizers of the event.
No.
I think that's ridiculous.
Right. They had nothing to do with your preparation or anything else. So, I mean, how could they?
But maybe there's a way to, like, I think, like, on the Cape, they postponed it.
I don't want to put a damper on their thing. They do what they want to do.
Right.
Personally, I was all in up until a half an hour ago.
Right. Well, when people see your video posted of the
boat encased in ice.
Encased
I'm gonna, like
I'll put
literally.
Some pictures up tonight and say, yeah, this is what you're getting into, Polar Plunger.
Well, so that being said, too, knowing that participation will probably be lower because of the weather, even a better opportunity for people to go by and give donations because
right, just drop off
there's
going to
be
donations.
Less people participating, so they need more donations than ever.
You know something? I think on my way home,
I
might text Kathy McCarthy and drop off some cheddar for her.
Yeah.
I think that's a good move. Thank you for
that.
That way, I don't have to leave the house tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there's that. City inauguration. Kim, this is your city inauguration is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow from 1 to 3, and it's a whole integrated program of speeches from the politicians. Like Senator Tarr is going to give a speech, and then this mayor is going to give the inaugural address, and it's all about positivity and optimism and looking to the future for Gloucester. So I think it's going to be a really nice event. There's Alan Estes, Fly Amaro, Charlie Bianchini are going to be singing. I'm sorry, I forget the name of the woman who's going to be doing the Star Spangled Banner. But I think it's going to be a beautiful event tomorrow. Yeah.
If you don't go to the Polar Plunge, because Melissa Cox usually does the Polar Plunge, and she was out early because she had to be at the inauguration.
Usually the Polar Plunge is like at 11.
Right.
And then
it was because of the tide. I talked to Kathy. It was
right.
It was a tide issue.
Right. So now it's they're both scheduled for 1 o'clock.
Right. Right.
So
there's that. This is my next topic. Ian Vincent is here. He hasn't really had an opportunity to speak much because I've been dominating the conversation.
It's okay.
But Ian texted me yesterday. He had an idea. And he asked to be a contributor on the blog. And we have a full roster right now.
Right.
Even though Ian is a very accomplished and very talented
photographer,
I'd love to have him on.
Yeah.
But so I was thinking, I read the email from him, and I was thinking out loud, and Kate, my brilliant partner in crime, Kate, said, I have a great idea. I says, what's your idea? She goes, you should do a guest contributor of the month. And you could start out with Ian.
Yeah, I love that
I said,
idea.
That is a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
I pitched it to Ian, came for the podcast.
Yeah.
I pitched it to him. He agreed. And Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
So what time are we going to see his post?
I already gave him the rundown about not stepping off, like making sure he sticks to his time slot. Because certain contributors get very, very upset.
We know who that contributor is. I fully admit. I'm very hard on my post. I don't want to put up a post and then 2 minutes later see a post on top of mine. So that's
exactly what I said. That is exactly what I said. And he totally acknowledged that.
Yeah,
so just so you know, I had the conversation with him and I said, so if there is some type of, like, you'll have a time slot,
yeah.
I told him.
Yeah.
And I said, if there's some breaking news type of thing,
yeah.
I said, if you think, you know, but you know that people will want to see this,
yeah.
You know, just post whatever time you feel like posting it right away, just date it for 59.
Right.
So it goes, because everybody posts on the hour.
Right. I think that's the best solution, because then, you know, you get the information out there, and I think it's great. I'm really glad you're here.
And I don't have to get any emails, but, which I'd like.
Absolutely.
So there you go.
No.
So tell me about the premise, what your idea was about.
So the premise is environmental portraits. So I've really been pushing myself the last couple of years to do more and more portraits. And so some of the shops and people of Gloucester and Kayban to do some environmental portraits. So I have some ideas in my head that I hope to work out. And
right.
It just gives me a good avenue to, one, kind of give a little PR to some of the local people, and also do some portraits, and we'll see where it goes. So.
Are you still keeping up with that? Was it 18 Haven?
Yeah, I am. I am still keeping up with 18 Haven. I actually did about 3,000 scans over the summer, so I'm just slowly trickling them out.
So are you going to connect to that too? We would love to see some.
I'll put a link here, but that's going to be separate.
Yeah, I think that should probably be separate. I mean, if something happens and we find an opening for me, that might be a really neat avenue, and I'd be happy to share that through Good Morning Gloucester. But for the people,
I enjoy those.
Thank you.
Do. Yeah.
Thank you. For those that don't know about 18 Haven, it's my grandfather had an ad agency in Rockport, and so from the 50s to about the 70s, he'd done stuff for Gloucester Paint and Building Center and a couple of the banks and stuff. And so what I have is this archive of amazing photographs of this area. And
incredible.
Some of the only photographs that I know of inside the Gloucester Paint Company.
So how are the what format are the photos? Are they photos? Are they slides? Or
they're 2.25 and 35 millimeter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
wow.
They're all slides. I mean, all negatives.
Negatives,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then when you post them, what's your routine proposed?
To get them to digital.
Yeah, how do you get them to digital?
So I have a scanner, so I'm scanning them in, and then I'm logging them in Lightroom, and then when I have time, I've been posting them.
Wow, yeah,
so it's been a while, actually, since I've posted some, but I need to go back.
This will be a spark.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Start thinking about people talking about it. You get re-energized, and boom, stuff happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually thinking about, do you guys remember Christmas clubs?
Yeah.
You know, where you go to the bank and you would...
Did you have one?
Yeah.
Did you have one,
Kim? I don't think I had
one. Was that just a Gloucester thing?
I don't know.
Do you don't remember Christmas
club? No.
So around here,
right.
You... how did it exactly... You had, like, was it a... We had passbooks.
Yeah, we had passbooks. And it started in August or something like that, and you would, like, put a dollar into it or something of that
every
nature.
On a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And it was a way to get kids to... get involved in savings.
Yeah. So I have a bunch of photographs from promotions from Cape Ann Savings of, you know, kids with presents and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I need to do this for Christmas.
Oh,
and I just never got to it.
Wow.
So maybe I'll still post that out.
And, yeah.
But
and are they all in black and white?
Yeah, primarily. Yeah.
Oh, so awesome. And did your dad actually take the pictures?
My uncle Peter Vincent, my uncle Tommy, and my grandfather. So Ken Vincent C. They did all the photography. So
excited to have you on board.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on board.
Yeah.
Really.
It's going
to
be great. It's always great.
Photos.
You know, we get when we have fantastic contributors to begin
with.
Yes, we do. We have, like, some of the most talented people. But it's always, like, you get fresh bread, blood, and they come in.
Fresh blood.
No, but, like, really, I mean, they're energized, and you know they want to make a splash, right? And they come out. And
I know, but also, I mean, consistently, Ian's photos are just always beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. His eye.
Yeah.
His, the way he frames his shots. Yeah. His, yeah, he's very, very talented. Next level guy. We have a bunch of next level people.
Guy. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of picture takers, and then we have, you know, a lot of photographers. There's a difference.
Yes.
So thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited about it.
It's going to be very exciting. Nicole, I did not acknowledge the wonderful gesture of the hot chocolate coffee that you brought. So we are drinking today.
We are.
Because when Nicole comes, we drink.
That's
this is
not
what we
true.
Do.
You
I joke. I kid.
There was one bad
So wait. I want to set the scene. Can I set the scene?
What's the difference between that and peppermint schnapps?
So I think it's the same.
Cat's out of the bag, Kim.
Yep, cat's out of the bag. So I'm going to set the scene. So I got here early so I could chop. The ice builds up around the wharf. I have to chop the ice and I'm freezing.
So that was full?
So no, it wasn't. It wasn't. So there was a. What do you call this? Do you call this a fifth? What do you call this? So there's a fifth of peppermint schnapps, and I got to the wharf. I put my iPad, which we taped the podcast out, and my fifth like right on my desk, like literally right where I sit. And I went out to chop ice, and then I came back up into the office, and I'm sitting here kind of like getting the show notes ready, and the bottle that I brought was. Like a third empty.
Right.
So it totally looks like I'm sitting here, like drinking peppermint schnapps, but it was just here waiting because I had texted Nicole last night. I'm like, bring the hot chocolate coffee so we can have a holiday toast. I knew I wasn't going to have, I had that one boat to offload, but it was going to be before we started the podcast. And then, and I knew no boats were going fishing today. So, Ian walks in and I'm like, this is not going to look. This is gonna, I'm like, first impressions. Well, he's been on the podcast before, but like, first, if you just walked in, you would think, this guy's got a big time.
This is how
problem.
He does it. This
like,
is how he does
it's
it.
It's 7:30 in the morning and he's got a third of that fifth is gone in the. But the truth.
Can I smell it?
Yeah, it smells like a wintergreen lifesavers.
Yeah.
It doesn't?
It smells like, I can't think of the,
Yeah, but it smells like that,
smells
but
like
it
mouthwash.
Smells, yeah, it smells like mouthwash, doesn't it? You know how schnapps has a thicker smell?
I don't know. Despite popular belief. I can't, if you were to line it up and blindfold me, I would not know one alcohol from the other, despite what Joey likes to say.
This is a whole different subject.
Does your boss still listen to the podcast?
Does.
Oh,
he
that's
does.
Awesome, I love it.
This is a whole different subject, but I had a huge disaster. I make these minted walnuts every year, and walnuts are so expensive. Mm. And I bought like $60 worth of walnuts. And then it's my great-great-grandmother's recipe, and you put peppermint extract in with the syrup to coat the marshmallows. And I didn't know it could go bad.
Yeah.
And...
What went bad?
The peppermint extract went bad.
Really?
And it had this, I mean, nobody else could taste it except for me. It was just had this weird undercurrent.
Mm.
And I chucked them all, but it was just like, and then I looked at the date and it said expires.
Oh, is that why we didn't get the walnuts in the jar?
Yeah.
Because every year I get one of those.
Yeah, it was
and I pick
giant,
at them.
Right, it was a giant disaster. So I had to throw it was $60 worth of walnuts that I had to throw away.
It's a lot of walnuts.
So
too bad.
Extracts can go bad, FYI.
Not
that bottle. That bottle's gonna be long gone before.
Speaking of extracts, do you ever are you ever horrified when you look in your fridge and the condiments and you have no idea how long
certain
condiments have been in there.
Right.
Because
how do you guys deal with that? Nicole, I'm going to start with you. How do you, I imagine it's pretty lax. It's just like ours. Awesome. I'm not going to say it's any different, but like, do you have a method?
No. Well, so what happens with condiments is you have you entertain and you're at the store and you never know how much you have left, so you always buy more.
Yeah.
And then you don't like go through and get rid of the old ones, and you end up with like 18 half gone mustards or whatever. And so I heave ho everything. Freddie keeps everything. It's a problem. Spices, salad dressings, it's all the same. We have like, I pulled out, when we moved back in August, we pulled out spices that were like expired 9-10 years ago.
I imagine like.
You have to be very careful because one time I was making chicken paprikash and I hadn't used the paprika for like a year and I'm sprinkling it in and there's eggs. I'm sprinkling eggs into
the chicken. What do you mean
eggs? Because
there's eggs,
like larvae of something. You know, you can see this like.
You lost me a larvae, Kim. Anything right. that involves. I don't sprinkle right. anything that involves larvae.
You yeah. don't know. You're just. You know how the paprika comes in a, like a little tin?
Oh,
so
no.
I'm sprinkling and I'm like, something's funky about this. And I took the lid off. So, anyways.
Joey's going home and cleaning out the pantry after this.
Everything's gone.
Right. So, like, that and the peppermint extract. I mean, now I usually just chuck everything anyway.
Oh, dear
but
Lord.
But I had this, like, every year I buy more peppermint extract, but I was, like, cleaning the cupboards, and I'm like, oh, I've got a whole half bottle here. I'll just use that this year. And big mistake. So.
And they've had babies. It's great.
That's so creepy.
Heinous.
Yeah.
Ian, what do you do?
Smell test. And if there's a, you know, it's kind of silly, but it's like, how much crust is around the lid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. No, right.
Oh, no, that's a point, too.
But, I wonder if, like, the condiment people that produce condiments, I wonder if they are aware, if they put, like, extra preservatives knowing that they don't want people to die from their stuff. Like, what? There must be some mechanism to say...
Well, a lot of condiments have, like, vinegar and stuff.
A ton of vinegar.
So, and salt.
So they keep
light,
anyway.
They keep anyway. Yeah.
They have to, though, right? Otherwise...
Yeah.
But once your air hits them, isn't that when it starts breaking down? So
yes, immediately. Like, I won't go too deep into it, but I took a, you know, HACCP class, like food handling thing, and there's certain things that... just one example. That with fish, right? If a guy catches a fish on a boat, and it's still alive, if they gut it and they get it chilled down...
Right away.
Right. The shelf life, and it never reaches 70 degrees when it's dead, the shelf life exponentially, and it's like this, goes up.
Right.
If the fish is landed, or it gets caught, put on deck, it dies, and it reaches 70 degrees, and then it gets... It doesn't matter how quick after that goes into an ice bath and chilled or frozen, whatever, the shelf life is exponentially shorter.
Wow.
Like that hitting that one temperature, there's some type of...
Yeah.
It was interesting to me.
See, I don't think about that with smaller fish. I know, like, with tuna and whatnot, I know that. You know, they're packing with ice, or they're coming in, even though they want to stay out and catch another, but they know if they don't get the fish to the dock. But I don't think about that with smaller species.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, you used to have... Okay, Nicole used to work with Mark Godfrey on a tuna dock.
Okay.
So you have to picture this. You want to describe it? What the mechanism that what you used to use to saw the heads off? I can't picture a girl doing this.
We've had this conversation before, but I didn't. I was teaching at the time, so I had summers off, so I wasn't just working down the dock. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that, but I ran into him at Halibut Point, and Freddie told him that I take pictures and whatnot, and he asked me to come down and photograph the core samples, you know, and the tail cut and whatnot of the fish. To then email to the Japanese market so people could start bidding and seeing the color and the fat content and whatnot, which is what I thought I was going to do. And then the first day, he handed me a pair of boots and taught me how to cut the heads off and bring down the, you know, the low tide, drop down the basket.
But the saw to cut the heads off.
It's like a chainsaw.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like a saw with a moving blade, and it has like a handle here.
I just call it a chainsaw. It's not a chainsaw.
It's kind of, well, there's no rotating blade, is
there? Yeah, no.
Isn't the blade go like this? It's more of a reciprocating.
It's like one of those electronic turkey carvers, you know?
Yeah, on steroids.
Yeah,
like,
on a big scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like shit is like flying. Like this, like, it's all greasy kind of like.
Scales are everywhere.
Yeah. I can't picture a girl doing that.
Wow.
A woman with that, whatever. You know,
well.
She did it.
You know.
Did you enjoy it? I mean,
I enjoyed being down there. Like, I didn't enjoy like
that
one aspect,
job,
but I loved being down. I mean, I love being with Mark. You know, we talk about colorful and whatnot, but I love being down there. I love the boats coming in and the crazy days when the white dove would come in. That would be like
how
nuts,
many fish did they? So the white dove was this boat that there was one of like maybe three or four permits on the whole East Coast that was allowed to seine. For tuna fish, so they could land like 50? How many?
More than 50. They'd come in with like 170
tuna.
Fish.
And like this permit, I can't even imagine what that permit was worth.
Yeah.
But they would land X amount. They must have had a total quota.
Were they huge tunas?
Well, they would, you know, they had to be of a certain length in order to keep, like, as always, but they could get as many as they wanted, but it was just different. No, those permits are long gone, right? Right, Joey? But
could people, are there enough tuna out there that people could catch that amount all at once?
They did. They only came in maybe twice a season. Forgive me if I'm wrong for any of this information, but they only came in like twice a season, and it would be, you know, all hands on deck. But the difference between going out and catching like one tuna and the careful tending of it, packing it in the rice paper, temperature, I mean, these were just dropped down into the hold and battered. I mean, really sad, actually. It was fun in that it was like crazy and hectic, but it's kind of sad to see that many fish all at one time.
Yeah, like it was really strange. It was almost like you couldn't, because we offloaded tuna here back in the day, when we were kids, the father's like, and. Yeah. So we wouldn't actually buy them. We had different tuna dealers would pay us a commission to offload them at the dock. Eventually, we stopped allowing that to happen because these guys were so fucking psychotic and wanted to, like, for one fish. Like, we had to unload 50, 60,000 pounds of fish during the course of the day. And these guys wanted, like, the whole place shut down and...
So they could bring
this one tuna in, and the way they handled it and the care and the ice was, it was just an ungodly, I mean, I understand because they were going to make a lot of money on this tuna fish, but for us, what we got paid was not worth the inconvenience of the way, but in contrast of the time they spent on these one tuna that got landed to when 100 came in on the White Dove, and just like, it was just mass, you know, just getting them, pumping them through, you know.
But the record keeping alone, like, people don't think about that side of it. Like, you know, you're tagging the fish, and then you're recording the weight and the time caught, the date caught, and the length, and the, you know, everything else, the quality. And then you have, you know, 200 fish coming at once, and making sure that you have the right facts for the right fish, and you know which bin the fish went into. It's
And then do you mark the fish somehow with this?
There's a tag you put through, and it clips back on. And that clip is the government is very serious. I don't know if they still do it this way, but the government, because it's all quota, everything's quota related, governed. So that's how they know that it's not contraband fish.
Okay.
If it has to have the tag in it, and that tag can't be removed.
So even back then, like.
Oh, back in the in the 70s. Yeah,
yeah, even back then.
There was tags. We used to have the tags here. Yeah, pretty wild. So what is everybody's plans? What's your plans for New Year's Eve?
Well, we're going to the Patriots. So the plan...
You're going to take your kids to the Patriots?
You did that on purpose. I know you did. You totally did that on purpose. I am going to take the kids
cold.
I'm going to take the rest of your schnapps, and they're going to go to the Patriots.
You're welcome to it.
So it's a 1 o'clock game, so we'll get home around like 6:30, and then that'll probably be it for us.
Do you have a little heater that you could take, like a propane, like a?
Well, we're not going to tailgate or anything. We're just going to go to the game. What do you mean?
Like you got to get there. You're not going to tailgate.
No, Thatcher's got a hockey game at 11, so we're coming in hot anyway. But I wouldn't tailgate with kids in this weather. Yeah, we're just going to go to the game.
Well, is it warmer in the bleachers? Like, just because there's so many people?
Well, we're not up high. It's a wind tunnel, you know, like up high, but we have pretty good seats, so
if the sun is on you, that might be your only saving grace, but still, there's not going to be any saving grace.
Yeah, the kids are pretty resilient. I think they'll be okay. We have tons of layers. If anything, we have too many, but, you know, we don't
just like that plaque in the office at the Thomas Landon.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as bad weather, only inappropriate.